You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, good morning. Welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We're going to be talking today with Paul Vandenberg. And Paul Vandenberg is originally an Aussie who came to the United States and bounced back and forth a couple of times, right, Paul?
That's right, yeah.
Well, so welcome back.
Well, thank you.
You've been here for a while this time. And Paul and I are going to talk today about this whole notion of how we move from being the founder of an organization or an organization that is growing, becoming much more complex, and in this time of difficulty finding full-time people, and at the same time, difficulty finding people who have expertise in certain areas where our businesses need to grow. This whole notion of fractional CFOs, fractional marketing people, fractional—you might call them part-time, right, Paul?
Yeah. That's fractional's a cool term, but it essentially means having access to expertise that you don't have in your own organization on some sort of part-time but ongoing basis.
And what I find one of the most exciting parts of the fractional movement, the part-time movement like this, is it's not like the people are part-time. They are spending time focusing on a number of different businesses at the same time. And to me, there's great value to that for the person doing it, because they can exercise their entrepreneurial expertise. They begin to assume responsibility for their own business, and they can begin focusing on the very narrow area of their expertise, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there have always been lots of people around that are experts in their fields. The area that we're primarily focused on being accounting. But when you got somebody in as a as a part-time or fractional CFO who had that real expertise, like I did when I first did my first startup back in the late 80s, the trouble was that those people didn't have the information about the business at their fingertips to be able to provide really good advice or real in-depth advice. And so there have been some changes in technology that now allow people wherever they are to get access to the information about your business, to be able to just jump on a quick call, 1 hour a week, and review how your business is doing with you, and without all of the costs that would otherwise go into, let's say you've got a CFO in or an accounting firm in to give you some tax advice. Well, in the old days, they would spend 90, and in some cases they still do today, would spend 90% of their time going through your books, which are usually in a horrible state, and they spend 90% of their time trying to clean up the books and make sense of your numbers, and spend a very small fraction of the time actually being able to give you any real advice. So that's why in the past, small and growing companies being able to take advantage of, tier one expertise like the big companies can, hasn't been viable financially.
Well, what I find fascinating is as I'm growing my business, there's a need for marketing, just the marketing behaviors. And I could go out and hire a full-time person, bring them on board, 90 days of training, this and that and the other, and probably at the budget level I can expect, I'm not going to get an expert in marketing.
Right.
On the other hand, what I have found is I have a marketing expert from Toronto. He doesn't spend all of his time working, but the time he does spend is very effective. And I find that a very creative way to get the marketing task done without having to hire a full-time person. I mean, that to me is something that I guess started off back in the 90s when a lot of senior executives were let go in that leaning up time corporations were leaning, and then here when they went home to figure out for a while what they wanted to do, here was this personal computer. And they were able to generate their own business through that computer. And now it simply you know, that whole notion of I can run my own business and focus exclusively on the areas that I am an expert in and also happen to love doing. That's a huge difference.
And in areas like marketing, it was one of the first areas to really jump on that outsource fractional resource bandwagon. And they were able to do so because they didn't really need to be involved in the integral parts of your business, right? They're really on the periphery of your business, although that's changed with digital marketing. But again, the technology has changed so that if you do have a company that's doing digital marketing for you, like the company that we work with, they're in Thailand. They maintain all of our websites, they do our SEO, they are tied in with our in-house, the in-house management of our Salesforce CRM system, and they're involved in the whole digital marketing cycle. And, you know, doing digital marketing 20 years ago or 10 years ago isn't something you'd have been able to do remotely because, for example, your CRM information wasn't available online in the cloud in real time. Now, most people are using a CRM system like Salesforce. That creates the platform for the CRM system. They can use an online tool like Marketo that integrates with your CRM to do the digital marketing. And you're right, it can all be done remotely. It's a case where a new cloud technology is enabling on the framework of the internet is enabling that whole idea of fractional resources, fractional expertise being part of your team.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I mean, in starting my business, I said, you know, I began to talk to my marketing guy after I had 12, 13 clients. He said, well, let's begin to use LinkedIn, which is going to put us into a national or even a North American environment. And here I have people from Staten Island and Dayton, Ohio, and they're very interested in me helping them. I thought for a moment that I was going to have to get on a plane, but now I realize I can train them remotely.
Yeah, and the other thing, so that's obviously enabled by technology. The other strange thing that's happened out there in the marketplace is if you get a trusted referral or introduction to your clients, to prospective clients, there's no longer the need for this FaceTime. You know, people have moved on beyond that. What we do is we help manage people's back-end accounting and financial operation systems. We have clients that are across the 405 freeway from us or on the other side of the country from us, and we've never met these people. So we've been introduced through a trusted referral from a CPA firm that, hey, these guys, Catalyst 180, they're the experts in their field. They've helped our other clients. Talk to them and see if that makes sense. And in all those relationships and all the work that we do, it's all remote. None of our people travel. And in fact, the times we do see them is at a local, you know, conference. I was last week at the Construction Financial Management Association conference in Vegas, and I got to meet a whole bunch of customers and people in the industry that you wouldn't otherwise meet.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about what your business does.
So, yeah, at its basis, we help businesses go through the transformation that they need to address the growing complexity or just pure growth in their business. So it's strange today that, you know, I can order my dog food right now from Amazon, and by the time I get home at the end of the day's work, that bag of dog food's going to be sitting there. Now, the people, the process, the technology to make that happen has all been transformed to be highly efficient. They capture the information at the source. All the systems and processes have been really transformed to be highly frictionless. That's my other F word. It's mm-hmm. Fractional and frictionless. So highly frictionless. And yet, when you're a small business owner, that has a business that's complex, where you can no longer be in the business and working in your business, and it starts to get that little bit too complex for you, or you get a high volume of growth, you no longer have visibility to, you know, what's the status of your cash flow and your cash commitments, what's the profitability of these clients. You end up having to get somebody running around with spreadsheets. That information isn't there because we're still using the same, most organizations are still using the same technologies and the same tools, mostly Excel, to extract information about the profitability and the operations of their business. And so what we do is, you know, we let people know, hey, there's a different way to do this. We can automate everything else. There's no reason why we can't automate your business. And we help them go through that transformation journey. And it isn't just about buying a piece of software. It's not just about changing and implementing a process. A lot of it is about the people. And it isn't something that can just happen overnight.
Well, so that whole notion of being able to it certainly sounds like what your process is valuable. In order to find that in a business 20 years ago, we'd have to hire a full-time CFO or a financial expert to do all of that, right?
Yep. Or a management. You'd bring in a management consultant, and they'd come and help you try and re-engineer your processes, because, you know, the processes and the technology and the people you have today aren't going to get you to the next level. And how do you make that, you know, how do you transform so that you do have a financial back office, a financial backplane, that's not just the accounting to produce financial statements, but help you understand the financial data for the operations of your business.
And it seems to me that in the previous incarnation of business consultants would come in and spend a lot of time understanding and then moving that back to training the group. And in what I'm hearing from you is, you don't spend a lot of time doing that. You come in, and when they are ready to execute, you're ready to execute because you have a process that is already in place.
Right. And, you know, this is the frustrating thing about the old way that things used to happen. So in the old days, you'd have a consultant come in, and they do what I like to call, they'd ask to borrow your watch so they could tell you the time and charge you for it. They would look at your old processes and try and introduce technologies to essentially mirror the way you're already doing things today. But as I said, the problem is, with most growing businesses, the way you're doing things today, the people you have today, the processes you have today aren't going to get you to where you need to get to. So that means you really need somebody to come in and put a new backplane into your company, right? And there's no reason today why you can't just, you know, a construction company. Most people would think a construction company is really complicated. Well, we have a solar construction company up the road in Santa Monica, Cypress Creek Renewables. When we first started working with them, they were about 50 million in projects under management. They're now 3 billion plus of projects under management. That was a 3-year ride. So they recognized early on that they were growing so fast, they just didn't have the people and the processes and the technology to get there. And so, we were able to say, hey, here is the design, the standard design for how a construction company is going to operate. You know, we introduce the toaster and we show them how to make toast. And one of the challenges with most companies is they think that what they do is so unique, they need to have people re-implement their processes or somehow modify their existing processes, but that's not our understanding and our experience.
Yeah, I find that to be true in sales. I find that true in organizational development and in the financial work that you're doing, that in effect, by being that fractional expert, by being able to focus on one particular part of the way that a business works, that we can come up with the most effective and most efficient systems for that particular part of the business, and what we're really doing is we're not conforming that system to the business, we're conforming that business to the system.
Right, and I think you can do that in all of the areas of the business. Certainly, most of the backplane, the financial operations of a business. You generally can't do that in that one area where you as a business are trying to be unique and differentiate yourselves. If your differentiation is around your product or service, then sure, sales, marketing, all the digital marketing, it's all, you know, very similar in terms of the way you execute. So all of those peripheral functions in your organization can be essentially built or implemented on a standard model. And you only really focus where your core expertise is, where your core differentiation is, and that often will need or will need a highly customized and specific way of delivering that service or product. But for the rest, you know, the rest of the functions in the organization, it's a lot more cost effective to buy off the shelf commodity software, standard designs, industry designs, and to leverage standard fractional expertise that's
available.
All
right, so I'm going to challenge you about that commodification. It seems to me that, I mean, what we talk about in EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, is we have a tool we call Delegate and Elevate. And what we do is we help people to get really clear about those things that they are doing that they're not good at and they don't want to do.
Yep.
But we also help them to get clear about the things that they might be good at but they don't want to do.
Yep.
Now, they're not going to be very productive when they're in either of those categories. When we can help them to identify what you might call their unique ability, the things that they really like doing and that they're good at, or maybe even love doing and are great at, their productivity goes way high. Now, I don't see that as commodification. I see that as building their unique ability, which is that kind of unique thing that you're talking about a company providing. We don't delegate that to somebody who doesn't want to do it. We assign that to somebody who is good at it and wants to do it. And it seems to me that's where you're talking about finding that outsourced fractional company or person. And that's not commodification. You don't buy an off-the-shelf financial program. You don't buy an off-the-shelf sales system. What you do is you find the absolute best one that you can find and then let them do that particular part of your business so that you can focus on the things that you do really well and love doing. Is that right?
And you're right, you know, and I shouldn't downplay what those other functions do for a company. But in my mind, by commoditization, I'm saying it's out there. It's readily available.
Mm-hmm.
It may be somebody that's moved to Montana because they don't want to live in Southern California anymore, for personal reasons, they go out there for family reasons. One of the people on our team, moved back with her husband to Arkansas so she could be with her family for family support. And so, you know, I probably shouldn't call it commoditization, but I guess it's readily available. The technology is readily available, the expertise, the standard processes and designs. It's available either off the shelf or by going out there and looking for that expertise. It's out there. And the key is to, like you say, to free up, you know, the people in your organization to focus on what their core expertise is.
And to me, what I see changing is that where one time we were limited by geography, I would really love doing this over here, but there's not anything that's available right now. I don't have a job that I could do that in, so I guess I'll just have to do this in order to get a paycheck. That means I'm doing something I really don't want to be doing. My productivity's down. However, once we get rid of that geographical limitation because of technology, now the real key is not do I have a person to sit in that seat, but do I have somebody who, number one, wants to do the job, and number two, has the capacity to do it, and they are able to, you know, they're good at it. And when we have somebody who gets where we're doing, what our company is about, they want to do it, and they are capable of it, that's a whole different kind of person.
You know, it works for both sides of the equation. You know, instead of the whole mediocrity of that scenario you described where somebody is now working to live, they end up in a situation where they end up commuting for hours and hours, particularly in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, negatively impacts everything about their lives. And so we as employers get people that may be settling and are generally just unhappy, and that impacts your work. I mean, some of the most miserable times in my life are where I've been in a job where I wasn't happy and I wasn't smart enough to leave sooner rather than later.
Well, I courageous. Weren't courageous enough. Have confidence in yourself to be able to, and I think that's one of the things that we're being able to share with people is that because of technology, we can begin to get a very narrow expertise, and we can begin to monetize that. And I think that's what's tremendous, a tremendous advance. And when we can begin to share with people, I mean, for instance, out in Riverside, my wife is doing this outreach program at St. Michael's Church. Here she has homeless people coming in. Some of them have homes now, but they were homeless at one point, and they're beginning to put their lives together, and she's asking them, well, what do you really love doing? And she's got a couple of people who love making pies. In fact, we discovered that the best pie we ever had in Arkansas was at Say McIntosh, which was a barbecue place there. And we discovered the fellow whose mother made all those pies out in Riverside. And he said, I love making pies. Another couple of women said, tamales. We love making. Well, they are going to be selling those this Christmas. And just that focused area that they love doing, they're very good at, they're going to be making money doing that. And it seems to me that helping people to get really clear about what they like doing or even love doing, and then helping them to discover how to market it, how to find somebody who wants that, that to me is where we're really making the progress with this, what we're calling the fractional economy.
Yep. And you know, I think overall, like I said, it benefits both sides of the equation. It means that as a small business owner, the ones that we've worked with, they may have plans for, you know, expanding their business, acquiring other businesses, and they've never really had the confidence of being able to make those kind of investments. And knowing, you know, most businesses, when is the right time for me to hire the next person? Mm-hmm. Or to expand into a new location. So the major issue that almost all small business owners have is they just don't have good visibility to what the real profitability of their business is, what the real profitability of their key clients are. They don't understand how their business works from first principles. They have a gut feeling. They work to these standard metrics like, well, I should quote with 30% margin and then, you know, I should focus on these billable hour targets. All these kind of things just are just standard metrics. They don't have the hard data that they need to really be able to run their business.
Let's take a break right here and come right back and talk about some things that I've found in my clients that they really need right now. So let's take a break and let's hear from a word from our sponsors.
It's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
So we're going to continue our conversation with Paul Vandenberg. We're talking about the change that we're seeing in business today, where a business owner doesn't have to hire a full-time person and then train them to fit into their organization and help them develop expertise. Today, what we have the opportunity to do as a small business owner is to find those people who are already experts and who are available on a part-time basis, a fractional basis, to do specifically the tasks that we need to accomplish. So, Paul, one of the things that I was speaking with one of my clients last week, we were talking about it's a manufacturing company, $18, $20 million manufacturing company, and they were having difficulty understanding, as they got more complex, understanding exactly what it was costing them to build their products. And they began to call it cost accounting, absorption rate, things like that. I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a financial expert. So tell me about what that would mean to a manufacturing company.
Well, and it's any company that has, you know, a what I like to call a long cycle for getting their product or service through the order to cash and procure to pay cycle. So manufacturing is a great example, distribution, construction, commercial real estate, they all have a long cycle that they go through. And during that long cycle, generally, they will have an accounting system at the back end, but it's usually catching information way after the fact. Even for a long transaction, a long cycle business, they're catching information way after the fact. So when somebody makes a purchase and decides, you know, what do I need to purchase to make a product, or what do I need to purchase to deliver a service, there isn't real-time visibility to the financial commitment that the company's made. Mm-hmm. You know, when you place a purchase order with a company, that is cash you're not going to have at some point down the road. And understanding that you know, that whole flow of information is key. So the main problems that we see are, one, that all the information that you need to capture isn't captured at the source. You see UPS and FedEx these days, they make sure, and they started this years ago, they were one of the first ones, capture all the information at the source. Don't have somebody in an office somewhere that ends up looking at a piece of paper trying to figure out what that piece of paper or what that scribble or what that information that's on there actually meant. And so you capture the information at the source. In modern technology terms, you'd call it tagging. Mm-hmm. Right, like we tag our photos these days for our vacation that we went on sailing in Greece, so that when you want to pull it up, you can use that tag to see all those photos. Similarly, if you go and place a purchase order for some product or some raw materials or computers that you need to install as an MSP, a managed service provider for a client, it may be laptops or something like that, or even commitments for services. You're a marketing company and you may be doing a media buy. The moment you make that purchase or put that purchase request in, that's cash that's committed. And you need to know how that's going to impact your cash position down the road. You need to know that needs to be factored into monitoring and tracking your profitability through the whole information cycle of that long cycle transaction that's going on. And the trouble is, people put the information in different systems, usually to meet a very specific need. And the problem is when that information finally gets to the accounting system or to the finance system or onto somebody's spreadsheet, they don't have all of the information tagged onto that transaction at the very front end through the whole journey of that information to ensure that they can produce the reports or the visibility that they want. And that's where they don't get to see true product profitability. They don't understand absorption rates. They don't understand inventory turn rates. They don't understand what cash is committed for that commercial solar, the 40-acre commercial solar farm that they're building. They don't understand what the commitments are, what mm-hmm. their positions are all the way through. And you know, as one of the principles of EOS you mentioned before, the Entrepreneur Operating System, it's no different to any management concept. If you can't run your business by the numbers mm-hmm. at a level of detail, then you really don't know. We had one customer locally, a marketing company, but when we transformed and essentially re-engineered their business, it came to pass that there wasn't one aspect of anything that they did that was profitable. The quoting wasn't profitable, and all the way through to the delivery. And, you know, a great company, great people, great customers. Everybody loved what they were doing. But the reality was none of it was profitable. Now, that works if you're growing and you keep the business, the money coming in, right? Mm-hmm. But then if there's some sort of economic downturn, then by first, the first principles data needs to be able to tell you, hey, what we're doing in some or all of your business is not profitable, and how do we tweak that to protect ourselves from some sort of downturn? And in most examples that I've seen, where growing companies get into trouble is when either they win that first big, really big client, mm-hmm. or something changes in the marketplace. Maybe the economy, maybe the entry of a competitor. You know, and when they get hit by that, if they don't have a foundation of a business that's running profitably by the numbers, then they're going to come a cropper. And
well, I think what happened in this particular company is that they had not had a budget before. It wasn't really an effective budget for each of the divisions in the company. And as they begin to put together the budget, they begin to have visibility into the numbers, and now they're struggling with, well, we discovered there's a $600,000-$800,000 discrepancy between what we should be doing and what we are doing, that, and it doesn't fit with the cash position, but their cash position is going down, and so they're struggling with how do we find out what's going on. So it sounds to me like what they were talking about was, it's an absorption rate. We don't understand the absorption rate. We don't understand the cost accounting system that we have. So that might be something that you could help them take a look at.
You know, and there are a lot of issues like that in almost every business. You know, people implement systems as silos to meet the functional needs of that organization, the sales organization, the engineering organization, or the production team, or the professional services team that might be delivering some sort of service. And all of these different systems, as we've introduced them, and I've been doing this for 30 years, as we introduce these different systems, a particular department implements the system, they ask IT to integrate it. Very quickly, the information flow across the silos goes out of whack, and everybody goes back to running around with spreadsheets to try and figure out what's going on. It's happened to me in the smallest businesses I've been in, and it's happened to me when I was working at IBM. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a frustration, and that's the frustration why our team gets up every day, because we've all lived this frustration. We all know that businesses can be run better and can be run profitably. You know, the Southern California and every economy on the planet runs from small to medium-sized businesses. They're the ones that employ people. And I've been in a position in a number of jobs through different cycles of having to lay people off. I was catching up with a guy that's now my insurance agent for business, and I laid him off. I've laid some of the nicest people in the world off over the years. And when the business was growing and doing really well, it was great. And when there was a downturn, you know, we laid all these people off and left them hanging. And it's an old business model, it's a bad business model, and it's one that really, there's no excuse for it today.
Well, in integrating systems for you, when you come in to do that, an ERP system for manufacturing is pretty fundamental, right?
You know, this is where I was talking about the commoditization of software. You know, once upon a time, you had to be working in a really large company to implement an SAP or a JD Edwards or a PeopleSoft, or even a mid-range ERP system. Nowadays, that software is, the price of it is commoditized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's readily available. You know, you don't have to be a big company to be able to essentially implement the ERP-like integration across systems.
Uh-huh. Well, how difficult is it to, if you have an ERP system that's not meeting your needs, how difficult is it to change?
You know, once upon a time, it was really difficult. Technology-wise, it's not. Your biggest challenge today, as always, is the organizational change management for the people. And if you're going to ask them to use a new set of tools, you can't do that overnight. And that's as part of our business model, is we stay with the client through their journey. You know, it may be a 2-year journey. Mm-hmm. In the, you know, software companies would say, oh, you need a new ERP. Let us back up the truck, dump a bunch of ERP on your loading dock. Here's a consultant. They're going to throw a bunch of billable hours at you. They're going to be they're going to try and be in and out in 90 days so they can recognize all the revenue in their current quarter, because that's how these businesses are designed. Well, then that leaves you to take your own organization through the business transformation of adopting new processes, new technology, and to help people deal with the fact that, you know, not just one person's cheese has been moved, but everybody's mm-hmm. cheese has been moved. Mm-hmm. And that's just an old business model that I believe is obsolete. And you know, the introduction of the concept of these fractional resources can be there as part of a long-term extension of your team. And you get them to help you when you're going through massive change. They may be doing more. And when they're going through less change, when you're going through less change, you scale that access to those resources back.
Well, so give me some examples. Tell me some stories about successes that you've had with companies.
Well, you know, the obvious one for me are the fast growing. You know, so let's maybe look at both fast growing companies and maybe more complex companies. So when a company is growing fast, the people that they have sitting in the seats, you know, this is an EOS principle, the right people in the right seat. Well, straight away, you know that the people you have aren't the people that are going to get you to where you need to go. Not that they can't be part of the journey. It's just that they don't have the experience and expertise. So you're either going to have to go through, you definitely have to go through hiring people. Well, the people you hire are going to show up day one. They're not going to know what's going on in the business. They may also not have the expertise with the particular technology and processes that you have in place. So what we find we end up doing is we end up being that kind of center of excellence project office for the organization relative to their financial operations. As they bring new people in, we get help them get up to speed. As they identify new processes that they want to focus on. So they've got all the data. They identify where the inefficiencies are that they want to upgrade. Then we go and help them design the new process or reconfigure the processes that we already have out of the box, and bring in some new technology, help train everybody up. They have their day job, so you have to do it on a part-time basis. There's people going to be on vacation. There's going to be people that may be off sick, that kind of thing. You know, you need to have the flexibility to be able to deal with that. You know, the old model of flying a consultant in for a week and expecting that they're going to be highly efficient and effective, that everybody's going to be available and everybody's going to absorb everything during that week that the consultant's on site, right. Or even go on a training course. Right. I mean, those concepts weren't there for the clients. Those processes were there for the software companies and the consulting companies to make the most money they could, and it left the risk with the client. The software company doesn't carry any of the risk for the software not being used to its optimum value, and the consultants, when they run out of their billable hours, they say, well, that was your fault. That, you know, Joan was off sick and somebody's mom had a car accident and they weren't there and the internet guy hadn't connected the internet. And so you don't get the full value from those services. And the risk was always on the client. And the strange thing that we do, and I think the strange thing that that you were talking about your marketing person, that I guarantee you they're just working with you on a flat fee. Right?
Right.
Well, and they don't charge you by the hour. They say, hey, here's a flat fee. It's like a buffet model, right? Sometimes you're spending a lot of time with us. Sometimes you're not. And sometimes you have an important project that needs to happen tomorrow. And sometimes things are a bit quieter. And so we do everything on a flat fee. Mm-hmm. And we guarantee that at the end of the journey, let's say it's a 12 or 18-month journey, at the end of the 18-month journey, all those visions you had, all those promises from the software companies and the consulting companies about having dashboards and reports to help you run the business, they can't guarantee that because they have to, you know, dump and run. You can only guarantee that if you stay for the journey through that whole transformation.
Well, and in this particular marketing relationship, first he came and said, well, I'll charge you X number of dollars and teach you how to do this. And I said, I don't need to learn how to do it. That's not something I want to do. You know, maybe years ago I thought it might be fun, but not now. And he said, well, okay, so he came back with like half the price. And I said, no, you're going to teach somebody else in my organization to do it if you're going to teach anybody. But let's look at that fee. I'll pay you that much up front. And then I will pay you this much when you bring me a client that I close. And when we begin to talk about that, then he began to be involved and take responsibility for being part of my organization.
And the risk.
In a real sense. Absolutely.
It's about performance.
Yes.
And the risk. If they're the expert.
Do it.
If you're the expert, you carry the risk.
That's right.
Don't ask me as the client to carry the risk for something I'm not an expert in.
Correct.
That model is a crazy model, but that model exists in so many different businesses today.
But that's what I think the big shift is in this fractional focused work, because when somebody is the expert and can actually make things happen, then they're golden. And that's when people really begin focusing on what can I do that makes my work excellent and highly productive. And when we get into that relationship with you, get rewarded for results, not for time spent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And I think that's the a very positive change that's going on out there. And it's, in my view, it's enabled by the convergence of all sorts of technologies. You know, we're essentially Ubering or Amazonizing, the traditional professional services industries that surround a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the business owner can take advantage of. And it allows them to look at the changing pressures. You know, one of the biggest pressures is just the cycle, the business cycles that are accelerating out there. When I was first involved in the automotive industry and working with software to do software configuration change management for the automotive industry, you know, a car was, you know, it was a nine-year cycle to bring a new car out. A new model, right? Now everything is happening so much faster. So, that's heavy manufacturing. So, but it's everything that's happening in our lives, the services that are being delivered, the products that are being provided to us. So everybody's business cycles are so much shorter. So you actually don't have, you know, you mentioned before, you used to like the challenge of being an expert in all aspects of your business. You can't afford to be.
No. You know? Well, you can't afford to be, and you can't be.
Right.
You don't have the time, the resources, or the money to be an expert in all of that, because it's very complex now.
Right. So you have to go narrow and niche, and the people surrounding you need to bring that niche expertise at an affordable price.
Yes.
So most small businesses can't afford to have a CPA doing their books, right? And they expand into some new business area. And in some cases, you need CPA
level
expertise.
Yes.
And so, I mean, lawyers have maybe been, you know, the model in the past where you've been able to hire expertise. But because of their billable hours, they've always had to be really expensive, right?
Yes.
And now you've got a legal Zoom out there, you know, changing the whole game.
Right.
You can get access to all the standard documents and filings, and you can also get access to legal expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just, you know, find somebody that is a right fit for, you know, I like to call it, when you're a small business person, you're usually looking for cheap and cheerful.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, but now you can look for the best and buy as much as you want.
And it just scales up from there. So, you know, that is what's changing out there.
Well, thanks so much, Paul, for being with us. What would you like to tell our audience? What should they be thinking about?
You know, they should be thinking, in my view, if you want to survive as a business, you should be thinking about, how do I break down what I do to first principles and how do I think about reinventing, re-engineering, Uberizing what I do so I can stay competitive? And if you're not, you know, if you're not looking to figure out how you can do everything in your business more efficiently, more profitably, to have it run with standard processes and accessing the best expertise than you can, you're probably not going to be able to keep up with the dynamic change that's going on out there in every marketplace.
So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They could just reach out at catalyst180.com. That's all one word, catalyst, the number 180.com. Drop us a note there, and if what we're doing is not a good fit for your business, then we'll direct you to somebody else that can. You know, one of our core principles is don't go in trying to do something for people if you can't be the one to guarantee their success. So that's Jim and I, he's my former CFO at a previous company. We've both broken out of the traditional businesses that we were in for software and services. We started our own business so that we can just focus on a business that we can be proud of and does the right thing by people.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Paul. This has been really exciting and interesting to me and possibly helpful to some of my clients. So this has been the Pilgrim on the 405, helping businesses in California thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.